This is New England Public Radio. Good morning again. I'm Jill Kaufman. There is a lot of debate about the safety and value of food that has been processed from genetic modification to nutritional enhancement. One UMass Amherst food scientist makes the case that there's good processed food and bad. He maintains the future of the global food supply will rely on some manipulation of nature and flexibility by consumers. New England Public Radio's Karen Brown reports.
There are some strange things hanging from Professor Julian McClement's bulletin board, like a packet of wrinkled, squishy red things one of his students brought from China.
It's some kind of weird fruit I've never seen before, but it's all in Chinese, so I don't know what it is.
And are you going to eat it anyway?
I'll have a go, yeah.
It gets worse.
So these are some edible crickets?
Yep, crickets. Bacon and cheese flavored.
And you can see their little eyes. A few of them are looking at us.
He bought them on Amazon and, after a few pints of beer, talked himself into eating some.
I spent the next couple of days pulling cricket legs out of my teeth.
The typical Western consumer might cringe at these culinary choices, but they're consistent with McClement's general outlook on food. Namely, society will have to get over its mistrust of the unfamiliar to keep up with modern food dilemmas. Among them, how to feed the 9 billion people on the planet, how to reduce pesticide use and other toxins, how to get healthy food to those who don't have money to shop at organic co-ops or time to cook from scratch.
So I think that's where, in the future, the food industry really needs to go, is to keep it cheap, convenient, and tasty, but also make it much healthier.
McClements is a world-renowned food scientist who just published a book called Future Foods. It highlights the ways technology is improving the food supply and defends many types of food processing he considers misunderstood. McClements does consult for several food companies that have come to represent the worst of processed foods with high fat, salt, and sugar.
Who do you get money from? Kraft, Nestle?
Pepsi, Nestle.
Okay. So how do you make sure that you keep a reputation as really being on the side of what's best for the world when you also work for companies like that?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult if you want to do proper food science research to not be involved with the food companies, because all the research you do, ultimately you want to be actually put into a food product.
Partly because of consumer demand. He says even industry giants are working on healthier versions of processed food. Plus, the term itself is so vague, he says, people don't realize how much processing they accept in their regular diets.
I mean, just give you an example, if you were developing a new technology and you put, say, some bread in there and it caused all the DNA in the bread to break down and it caused, all these cancerous compounds to be formed, would you ever use it? So most people would say no, but that would be a toaster.
In other words, just cooking changes the molecular makeup of food. But there are, of course, more invasive methods of processing, including at McClement's lab at UMass. He specializes in nanotechnology, which uses ultrasound to create tiny particles of nutritional content.
So you put the sample in and it blasts the sample with these very, very high-intensity sound waves.
Scientists in his lab then inject the particles into foods that are short on nutrients. For example, getting fish oil into bread so you can't see or taste it. Or working with the NASA Mars mission to stop vitamins breaking down too quickly in its freeze-dried foods. He says nanotechnology is especially important in developing countries where vitamin deficiencies can cause blindness, stunted growth, and other serious problems.
And you could convert this into a powder, and it might just be something they could take, put into a soup or a stew or something like that.
People have called what he works on Frankenfoods. And he understands the concerns. He does his own research on the safety of nanoparticles, though he says most are harmless. And he says it makes sense to question anything that changes DNA structure, including genetically engineered food, or GMOs. But after products have been rigorously tested for safety, as GMOs have, he wishes people would focus on the good this technology can do, like making crops resilient to climate change, slowing rot to reduce waste, or reducing the need for pesticides.
And I think about, people in the West who are against genetic engineering, I think that could really hurt people in developing countries because the industry won't invest in it.
Still, the future of food is not all about health. McClements also writes about developments that seem right out of science fiction. Meat that's grown from animal cells in a test tube. Or 3D food printers, like the prototype that UMass keeps in the basement below McClements' office. There are tubes where the food ink would go through and then spray on a plate.
So it sort of builds up the first layer, then it builds up the next layer. And on the computer, you would have like a 3D image of what the food is going to look like.
McComas does not believe technology alone can protect the planet. Humans need to make good choices. He still considers fresh fruits and vegetables the gold standard for healthy eating. And he's recently become a vegetarian, in part because meat production is so resource heavy. Still, he says science can help with those choices, creating a vegetarian burger that tastes like cow, or fake eggs with the consistency of an omelet.
Which is a big trend in the food industry at the moment, is to try and make everything all plant-based for environmental and sustainability reasons.
So let's get back to edible crickets, which have high protein and mineral content and put minimal stress on the planet. Food scientists are trying to make insects palatable to more people. And while McClements knows it's not easy to get over the ick factor, you never know. Consider the lobster, which he's always found kind of gross.
200 years ago, I mean, lobsters was just seen as a food for the poor and for, you know, prisoners. And now lobsters is a really, you know, fancy food for rich people. And it looks like a giant cockroach.
And you won't eat it.
And I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
Another sign that anyone can be a picky eater, even the food scientists. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.